Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. The final hour of the program is live and underway, and thanks for being a part of it, and it's really great to have you. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, will join us in just a few minutes. But right now, we want to welcome someone who is a favorite of all of ours, even though he's seemingly been dancing and talking at the same time on ESPN Radio. Will Cain, who tomorrow will mark his last day. He's reportedly heading to Fox News. I don't know if Will can even acknowledge that. Usually when you change jobs, there are official proclamations that prevent you from discussing it. Will, thanks for being on. I know you just got through with a three-hour show, and we won't keep you long, but we did want to say goodbye, and thanks so much for everything you've done.
Paul, I'm happy to be on the show, man. My first time right here at the end of my tenure at ESPN. I'm happy to be talking on the show that I imagine most of my friends are actually listening to, outside the ones that love me. And, growing up in Texas, being a big college football friend, bunkered up in Tennessee right now with friends scattered all across the South, I'm excited to be on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Well, thanks. I miss seeing we would bump into each other in the hallways, up in New York all fall, and, now we're both in bunkers, literally. I do want to talk to you though about you put out amazing comments all the time, but you put out this tweet the other day that when I saw him, I did a double take, and apparently so did a lot of other people. In the aftermath of the Bubba Wallace situation, you said NASCAR didn't care about the truth. Almost everyone in the media didn't care about the truth. Curiosity, questions, and the search for the truth were dismissed as contrarian at best, racist at worst. Media is broken. Society is broken. I know you could do a PhD paper on that, but give it a shot.
Paul, I just think that certainly for members of the society, but increasingly for guys that have jobs like we do, our priority has to be finding and telling the truth. There's so many different off-ramps on that highway of the pursuit of the truth. Off-ramps for preservation of likability. Off-ramps for preserving ourselves from people coming at us, calling us terrible names, off-ramps for career advancement. It all gets in the way of actually doing our jobs, which is to tell the truth. I think this Bubba Wallace NASCAR Talladega situation is just a massive malpractice on behalf of the media. Today, a picture came out, Paul, and I know you know that, and you've probably talked about it on your show today, of the garage door pull fashioned into a noose at Bubba Wallace's garage stall. It certainly looks like a noose. But it doesn't change the fact that both the FBI and NASCAR have said no hate crime took place. That was there since October. And in fact, NASCAR today admitted a mistake in how they responded to this initially by calling it a heinous act. And they ramped up, along with then the media who ran with it, divisions, inflammation of racial tensions, and a false story across this country. I just think that's malpractice.
And it seems, I agree with a lot of what you said, and it seems like it is no longer an outlier, Will. It's the norm.
I certainly think that's true as well. I am really disappointed, and that's why I make the broad indictment that the media is broken and society is broken. If you really want to be, you know, philosophical about this, you could point to so many different sayings that have come throughout history, Paul. Like, those who tell the truth will be hated. You'll be hated for the truth. And the reason why is people love their lies. They love the idea of whatever it is they believe. And I'm open to disagreement. If you ever listen to the Will Cain Show, and I understand it's hard because the Paul Feinbaum Show is on at the same time. This esteemed program airs during my hours. But if you ever do, I am open to disagreement and debate. I am open to you telling me how I'm wrong. But we have to at least acknowledge a basic set of facts and agree that the truth is important. We can disagree on our opinion of the events, But I just am losing faith that, you know, and this isn't political, Paul. This is left, right. This is political. This is business. This is media. And this is members of our society. Don't prioritize the truth.
Well, this is a strange question because certainly we understand what it's like going up and down the cable news dial, and the reports are you are heading to Fox. But we're talking about sports channels here as well, one that you currently work for. I know you don't want to say too much on the way out, but ESPN, as you well know, you've had to deal with it, is one of those networks that is constantly and consistently attacked.
That's true. I'm not really going to talk to you about where I'm headed in the future, what my plans are. I'll be unveiling that in the week to come. As far as ESPN, I would say this when it comes to the media and to institutions. We should do our best going forward to judge everyone as an individual. Now, that's a great philosophical principle and one that I think we should be living up to in terms of how we fix our society. But I also mean it in terms of how we consume our media. I don't care who you work for, Paul. I don't care. I will be judging you, and I'm using the proverbial you here, based upon your fidelity to the truth. Are you doing a good job? Are you entertaining me? Are you doing a good job of relaying valuable information to me? I think that can come anywhere and everywhere. I think that can come and does come from individuals inside of ESPN. I think that comes from individuals inside of every media organization. And I think there are massive, massive failures from individuals at every single one of those institutions as well. At ESPN, I've had some of those conversations directly and on air with my colleagues because, again, I am open to doing this. I am open to having this conversation about where we succeed and where we fail. But I will tell you, I will be prioritizing individuals. Who do I value? Who's good at this? No matter where they work going forward.
And again, I certainly wish you all the best as you go forward because it is an important thing. Especially in the last almost 4 months now. I mean, we have faced two of the seminal stories of our lifetime. It doesn't matter how old you are either, unless you were alive during World War II, and not too many people were. I know the next question is somewhat ridiculous based on your tweet, but what is your hope or faith or level of confidence that it's going to get any better?
I fight that, Paul. I don't know how you feel about this, but I like to think of myself as an optimist. I mean, I think about the choices that I make, the risks I take, and even the one I'm about to make, the move I'm about to embark on. I was talking to Joe Tessitore on the Will Cain Show today, and he said, you should move forward with fearlessness. Take chances in life. Do new things. That's what life is about, and be fearless. And I believe that requires optimism. And I certainly have that for people out there in our country. I fight pessimism. I think social media is poison, and it poisons my brain and everybody's brain on a regular basis. And it makes me pessimistic about society, about our business. And so I'm not going to lie to you, Paul. That's a struggle for me. I don't know. I don't know the future. I just know this, Paul. How about this? And I know I'm being really like – I hope the word isn't sanctimonious, but I know it's important. How about that? It's worth fighting for, Paul. By the way, it's not just this stuff. Like, we're losing the things that we care about together. I love college football. You love college football. I'd rather be talking to you right now about whether or not Texas – is going to finally come back to its national prominence. I love the NFL. I want to talk to you once again about the Dallas Cowboys. There are things that bring us together, and I would hope that one of those things is our principles, our valuation of individuals and the truth. I would hope that. And I will try my best to be optimistic that we'll still have those things to bring us together.
Well, Will, I congratulate you for speaking the truth, and it's long overdue. All the best to you, and can't wait to see where you go next, and I hope you'll come back when you land wherever you're going.
Paul, I always enjoy seeing you on TV. I love your coverage of college football. I would be happy to come on the Paul Feinbaum Show anytime in the future. I appreciate you. Thank you.
All the best, Will. Thank you so very much. Will Cain, his final day at ESPN is tomorrow. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It has been a wild and crazy couple of hours here, and maybe we can calm things down with the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. We're depending on you, Commissioner Sankey. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, that's an introduction. I listened to Will, who I was supposed to be on Will's show one time, so I was all excited about that, and Al Duncan was was guest hosting. So it was great to meet Al. Appreciate Will and his perspective, and hopefully I can come and bring some optimism to us all right now.
Well, we want optimism pretty badly, and we also want a dose of reality. And I know that's a tough situation right now. You're dealing with enormous issues on all sides. But let's start with the college football part of it. And we've asked you repeatedly over these last almost 4 months now for an update. So it's an open-ended question. But where are we?
It is, and it'll be open-ended for a while, and we'll have to deal with that. Paul, I've zoomed into staff meetings with our athletics departments and said, hey, the reality is we are in a time of uncertainty. It's not forever, but it's a reality. And 2 days ago, we were with Dr. Condoleezza Rice. A group of commissioners had a learning experience with her as part of our annual meeting. And she said, you know, in uncertainty, you're going to have to make decisions. They're going to be hard decisions. They're going to be imperfect decisions. You're going to have to be comfortable with the outcomes, and then you're going to have to continue to move forward and adapt. So we're seeing that. I've said before, we brought our student athletes back, so we're in voluntary athletic activities. Really good start, but we knew and we planned for the reality around COVID, and that is the potential for positive tests or contact with people who test positive and the need to isolate. So last week, stories popped. There's speculation or leaks. I'm not sure exactly the sources of information on numbers. And I think it's important to understand that we're providing care on our campuses with embedded medical professionals. We're going to adapt to adjust. It raises questions we're not going to have to answer about, like, what if that was in October that you had all of these people who had to isolate? Well, we're not in October yet. We're learning as we go a bit, not that people are not being cared for properly. Next, we're going to go through a few more weeks of voluntary activity and then the opportunity under NCAA rules to be a bit more active with some more summer access, still limited in what can be done. It's not full practice, so that's the next mile marker for football. And as we go through July, even more and more important decisions will come to us.
And we talk over these months, Commissioner, and I know one time you said you still have the luxury of time. Do you now?
It's narrowing, but I think when I said the luxury of time, and every day a little bit of that asset slips away, and it is. But part of that time was to allow us to learn. And another one of my calls this week, an observation was made. We don't know much more than we knew in March. I said, really, that's not correct. We know a lot more, but we don't know as much as we need right now. And that asset of time is narrowing. And as I said, we've got some milestones coming up this July 13th return to activity. Think about what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks in our country or on our campuses, and then think forward 2 or 3 more weeks. Hopefully we make some progress around COVID, and that guides us to the next 2 or 3 weeks where we have to make more decisions. So the acknowledgement is, yeah, the asset of time is slipping away. That luxury is going, but it's still going to give us the opportunity to learn a little bit more and make decisions.
I feel certain in asking you that, or not asking and knowing that you have multiple contingency plans. I'm not asking for that. That's certainly something that you have to be careful about and know. But what are we talking about here in terms? I mean, we all know when the season begins. I'm sure that would be one of the first lines of demarcation, would it not?
Right. Right. Yeah. So the other thing that I've said repeatedly is we're focused on preparing to play this season as scheduled. In fact, I just left another meeting, which is like life right now, where we're looking at all kinds of game management issues. Really not that interesting, to be candid, but that's part of preparing to play the season as scheduled, because we're going to have to operate a bit differently, and we know that. So that's the focus for weeks and weeks, months now, looking at scenarios and contingencies. And I think you may remember with a smile on your face, I think I mentioned the word contingency and planning, the phrase contingency planning, like way back in late March. And man, it went to a tweet, and then it was a story the SEC is involved in contingency planning. Well, that's now normal behavior. And I saw Nicole's article, and I know she was on earlier talking about conferences and do you move your championship game. Every one of us is properly considering, can we move? Can we adjust? That doesn't mean we will, but we have to be able to adapt, just as I've predicted on each appearance. You then look at different models of a schedule. If there's delays or disruptions, how do you adapt? And you can run through probably 15 to 20 different scenarios. None of those are real right now as far as we're going to implement those, but all have been introduced to athletics directors to say, here's kind of the range of possibility that has to be on all of our minds, with the first and primary option being that focus on playing the season as scheduled.
The calendar is moving into July, as everyone knows that has a phone or a pocket or a desk calendar. Commissioner, what are the benchmarks coming up for you and for everyone? I mean, you deal with presidents, ADs, coaches, administrators of all sports, but in the parlance of football, what's next?
Well, I like the way you went old school with the desk calendar there. So we've covered the range, right? I think it starts at the top and being attentive to what's happening around us in society. We see clearly different levels of infection. What does that mean? That puts us to next week with our medical advisory committee to make sure we understand and interpret the information correctly. So I don't tend to focus on what's on scrolls and what's on headline placements on the news. The next part for us would be the startup of what's called summer access in football. And so that's a little bit more like guided practice. Some film, some distant gatherings. It's not practice, though, so I want to be clear about that. So that's the next specific milestone. We're meeting every week. I would expect us to have a more focused, longer meeting cycle with athletics directors to make not go or no-go type decisions, but all these event management issues that support decision-making. And we're going to be guided a lot by local state health officials and what is it that we'll be able to do as a conference. And those milestones are ill-defined. So I can point to the startup activity on July 13th. I can point to an opportunity in basketball for a little bit more activity, although that sport's way off from play. The continuation of voluntary activities, watching what happens from a health and a welfare standpoint every day, just like is happening on our campuses, and that's going to guide us to decision-making as we come to a point where we'll have to make a decision about whether we're playing as scheduled, which is what I've said we're focused on.
If I could switch gears to a week ago when you sent the note out in relation to the flag issue, it's become such a big topic. I know you saw what happened today in Mississippi. I'm interested in your perspective a week later.
Yeah, you know, in fact, it's probably 2 weeks. You recall, I think we spoke on a Friday, and he said, I'd like to talk to you about what's happening in our culture and society. And I said, I really look forward to that because the time and the way to speak was on my mind after any number of conversations. And I had made a very, what I felt was clear statement in 2015, my first month as commissioner after the tragic shootings in the church in Charleston, South Carolina, about the need for change in the Confederate battle flag symbols. One was on the state capitol in Columbia, South Carolina, the other being in the state of Mississippi flag. So now we have one remaining after the change in South Carolina. And it's the need from my perspective to send a clear statement from the Southeastern Conference with two universities about which we care deeply and have great relationships. The people in Mississippi as a state have been great to us and to me personally. That doesn't mean everyone agrees. It's almost Will's prior conversation, but from a conference where we want to try to remove a symbol that has served as a divide, it was an important statement to make. And I'm encouraged that we're not at a finish line. At least that was my last news update, but I'm encouraged by the progress and the leadership from our campuses, from our student athletes, from our coaches today in Jackson, that change can be accomplished sooner rather than later.
Commissioner, I know a lot on your plate, and I've said this every time. We appreciate it. I mean, there's a million questions, but it seems like the answers are still out there. So we'll leave it at that. But we always appreciate you making the time and trying to give us an update. Everyone seemingly wants the same thing. It's just the roadmap to get there.
It is, and you know, we talked about two huge issues, right? In the COVID experience playing college football and this circumstance, a state flag that's been in place over a century. So we didn't get to name, image, and likeness. We didn't get to any other number of issues. So it is not a quiet summer at all, but we're supposed to do hard things as leaders, make hard decisions, and make clear statements. So I appreciate the opportunity for the continued conversation.
We will talk again soon. Thank you very much, Commissioner. All the best.
Thanks, Paul. Take care, and everyone stay healthy.
You got it. Commissioner Greg Sankey giving us an update, as he has been so diligent in doing. We will take a break. We'll finally get back to your phone calls after a long absence. That coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back. I certainly appreciate the commissioner. That was an incredible half hour with Will Kane and then Commissioner Sankey giving us the latest. You know, sometimes it's really difficult to interpret where we are, but I think it was pretty obvious that Commissioner Sankey mentioned the contemporaneous issue going on here, and that's the virus spread. And the CDC said tonight that the virus has likely infected more than 20 million people, and that has to be contained for what he and everyone is trying to accomplish. Let's get back to the calls, and JK is up next. JK, thanks. Great to have you on.
Feinbaum, what's happening, man?
I am doing well.
Hey, I guess I'm number four on Victoria's list of listeners that enjoyed a call. But this is what I don't understand. Why all this, the underhand 32-mile-per-hour softball question that you give Sankey every time he comes on the show? I mean, you treat him like Fox News treats Donald Trump.
Let me explain.
Let me talk.
Okay.
Let me talk now, Feinbaum.
It's all yours.
All right. Now, one day I called in and I said, Paul, can you please, once you get the SEC commissioner on, ask him some tough questions like, you know, who is responsible for these kids if something happens to them? Is it the SEC's commissioner's job?
Well, I can answer. I can answer that question.
All right.
If a player gets sick at Alabama, that's ultimately Nick Saban's responsibility. It's not up to the SEC commissioner to be responsible for. I mean, he's involved with the protocols, with the guidelines, but it's not up to him. It's up to the individual head coach and administration at every single school.
Okay, but Paul, why is it that I've yet to hear a parent on either your show or any of these local shows to answer a question about their kids?
JK, I've spoken to a couple of parents, and I can tell you they're very concerned about what's going on. But remember something: we are only in. I think you could say this is the embryonic stage of this return. I mean, that right now, and Commissioner Sankey said it very well, these are voluntary workouts. July 13th, we get to a different level, and that's when more things start to happen. But, yeah, parents have every right to be concerned. And I heard the other day a parent called Nick Saban personally and said, what's going on here? I've heard parents calling other coaches. This is happening.
Hey, Paul, let me say this before I go. I'm a big college football fan, and I'm better known as a Bama hater, but for some reason I can't get that name on air because for some reason you guys don't like Bama hater. But let me say this to all the Alabama fans. I don't know why those guys are in a rush to get Alabama started again. The last time they was in a championship game, they got humiliated. and they can't even win the SEC West with 85 five-stars. So I don't know why they're in a hurry to get the season started again.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe last year they did have a disastrous 11-2 season, which followed a 13-1 record.
And what did it get them?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What does it get you to hate on Alabama? Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Then keep continuing to hate.
You have a good one, Paul.
Thank you. Or continue to hate, I should have said. Don't want to be grammatically incorrect with somebody called Bama hater. Kevin O is up next. Hey, Kevin O, you're on the air.
It's Kev O, Paul. That's okay. Bama hater, what an original nickname.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kevin O.
That's okay. Hey, Paul, I just want to pay you a compliment, really. Over the last 10 years I've listened to you, your show has evolved so much over 10 years. I was going to ask you, back in the whenever you were at the Louisiana newspaper, did you ever think that you would be in so many 40-something years being the calm in a store, the safe harbor for America?
No, I did not. And but you know, and I'm serious, and I've said this a couple of times in the various interviews that I have never been more gratified and proud of what everyone, and when I say everyone, I'm talking about the audience here, because they're the biggest part of this show, what we've all done in the last 4 months. These, as the commissioner said, these have been some of the most difficult conversations in the history of this country, let alone a sports show. And I think especially in the last 4 weeks, as difficult as COVID was, I have never dealt with things like we have dealt with here. And I don't say this to be gratuitous to the audience, but I have learned a great deal about what I no longer need to say in defending a position. It is time to listen. It's also time to be heard. And I know that sounds contradictory. But
think, Paul, this is I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, keep going.
I think just your background, your parents, their heritage, it's like you've experienced so many things from your ancestry, being raised in Memphis during a really critical time in the 60s. I mean, what you've done in your life is like, I can't think of a better person to be in your seat right now. And I really mean that. I'm not trying to, you know, win any.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of joke about having been around so long I think life experience is always important. And when I've said this once or twice, but when it comes to race, because I felt like I had a pass. And the reason I felt like I had a pass was because, my parents, in my mind, raised me correctly. They raised me not to hate, not to look at other people, to look at everyone. And I thought that gave me, I thought I could go through the express lane on the conversation. I found out that is not enough.
Well, one thing, I lived in Germany for 3 years working for the military, Paul. You know, I toured the Holocaust museums, and you see things that just, you're just, your jaw drops, and you're just, there's like an evil spirit there. But, a lot of people here have never stepped out of their little small pond, so to speak. And I think that's the problem with America, is when you get used to something again and again, you find comfort in it. And we have things now that will challenge every belief you have, whether you're a Christian or an atheist. I think America's under attack, but there's still a point to kind of step back and not get emotionally involved so much. There's a place for emotions, but I think you give both sides, left, right, even poor Victoria Jackson, who I think is from Pluto. I didn't really get her.
I felt badly, and I never make excuses. I was trying to fix something technically while she was talking, and I'm trying to decide whether by not hearing her for 5 minutes did that make it easier to understand or more complicated.
So you took a time out. Well,
my only regret is that I heard anything she said, let alone parts of it.
Yeah, I just say since the Harvey Updike days of, 10 years ago till now, your show has matured, and I think you respect people regardless of their educational level. There are some real, you know, there's some guys who, you know, the elevator doesn't go all the way top, but you do give us both time to talk, and I appreciate that. I really do, because I was a journalism major at Auburn, and I think the way you practice journalism needs to be taught in schools somewhere, because that's long gone, I think. That's my opinion. So kudos, Paul. God bless you, man.
Thank you very much for saying that. That means a great deal to all of us here. We'll take a break. Final couple of minutes of the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Welcome back. Dee is up next in Georgia. Hey, Dee.
Hey, Paul. I'm calling because I'm a little confused by Victoria's statement.
Join
the
club.
A lot of these broad painted statements, you would think no one of any color receives an education. All jock for real dumb. I know a lot of kids that get an education and get a degree. I know some go on and quit and go on into the pros. They make money, the same as some kids who have full degrees and make more money than some. I think if you go to school and you learn one thing, you have benefited. And they truly bring something. I'm so tired of the painting athletes like, oh, they don't supposed to really be here. If you learn anything, if you're exposed, you're learning. And I think that part should also be expressed. And not just paint everybody, oh, no, they don't get an education. They're just there. That's not true. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I'm really glad you said that. I think it's extremely accurate. Charles is up next in Athens, GA. Hey, Charles.
Well, hello, Paul. It's great to be on your show.
Thank you. This is the second time
I've been on there. And, you know, the last time I was on about a couple of months ago, my mama missed it. So
I hope she's around today.
She's 92 years old, and if I don't have you on the TV every day, she almost has a stroke. She was very upset on Tuesday that you wasn't on the TV.
Yeah, that was. I should have explained that. The network was honoring Title IX that day, so that's why we were not on.
So, Paul, you have been a victim of Title IX.
I'm going to call that professor to complain.
But anyway, I wanted to comment a little bit on this old Mississippi flag over there. Of course, I hadn't kept up with things over there since Johnny Vaught was a coach. But we had a similar situation over here in Georgia that you may remember.
I do.
Yeah, and the way that got changed is that we had a governor that snuck it through, got enough legislators and twisted their arms, and he changed the flag and took the Confederate emblem off. That was two-thirds of our flag. It wasn't nothing like that small piece on Mississippi flag. And then the new governor, and then, of course, that governor was voted out of office at the next election. And the new governor came in, and he made it where the people could vote on the flag. But the one with the Confederate emblem was not an option. The only option was to change that flag and vote in this new design. Well, they voted on the new design, and that's our flag today. But what a lot of people don't know is that that is a Confederate flag. It is the first Confederate national flag, and the only difference is it has the Georgia seal on it.
I'd heard something about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, people get worked up about the Confederate battle flag, but we didn't have no problem when we used a Confederate national flag.
I'd say Georgia's done pretty well.
Well, you know, there was a lot of support for that Confederate flag because they couldn't even get it taken off when we had the Olympics over here.
Right, I do remember that.
There was a big push to try to get it off, and they couldn't get it off because politicians have one goal, and that's to get reelected.
Yeah,
and that's probably what the problem is in Mississippi, where that governor won't bite the bullet.
Well, he may find himself alone if he doesn't do it soon.
Well, I tell you this. My opinion is if all the black athletes would boycott all the Mississippi schools, I believe that flag come down pretty quick.
Yeah, no, that is definitely. Well, hey, really good to hear from you, and give your mom my best.
All right, thank you, Paul. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bob is in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Hey, Paul, big fan, man, and enjoy your show. But
thank you.
I just want to make a point. You know, we were talking about. I went to Ole Miss. My daughter went to Alabama. My son's at Auburn right now. So we're spread out on a good tag to go in the front of the car. But you know, the thing about it is when these kids put those uniforms on Saturday, and those students cheer for them, they're all one. It doesn't matter the skin color or what's going on. They're all in. They're all in. And the white students support the black students or the African American students. They're all one. And the thing about it is that opportunities there. You know, if you add it up in the SEC on a given Saturday, starting on defense and offense, you know, at least 80% of the players are African American, and they are the better players a lot of times, and that's from hard work, that's from whatever genetics, it's from a lot of different things. But the whole shooting match is that we're trying to tear down what we've built up for years, and if we keep this up, we're going to do it. And you know, I work in the medical industry, and you be talking about COVID and all this stuff. You know, COVID, you basically, people are going to get sick. They're going to get sick. They get sick from influenza every year. They die by the thousands. I live in the state of Alabama, man. 2,700 people died in my two counties over the past 2 years from influenza, and it never made the paper. But now we've got maybe at the present in my two counties, we've got 18 people dead from COVID. Now, people are getting positive and from COVID and stuff. But at the same time, this is going to happen, and there's no way around it. You can't hide from it. You can't mask from it. You can't cover up from it, and it go away. It's just part of the genetic species and what's going to go through. So anyway, I'm covering a lot of different things here, but I think that you got to look out for the players. You got to do the safe things you can for the kids and the school kids and all, but there's no way around it. You're going to have to face it at one point. And most everybody who gets it, unless they're compromised in some respiratory manner, they get over it, and they develop an immunity by doing that. And that's what we do. I used to sell flu vaccine. I work in the medical industry that does that. And so anyway, I want to just add that in, that you know, they're going to have to take a stand and make a choice. It's not an easy choice, but I think players and
Bob,
and,
you take care of yourself. I hate to run. We're out of time. It's been really an insane show. The commissioner joining us, so many other great guests. We'll try to take a break for 20 hours. We will see you tomorrow at 3 Eastern. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.